About 50 miles from here, there is a stretch of highway that has just been renamed the Highway of Heroes. This highway stretches from an Air Force base in Trenton, Ontario, to a coroner's office in Toronto. And when a Canadian soldier is killed in combat, they are flown into the base, and a motorcade of police and military vehicles escorts the vehicle, carrying the young men and women into the city for an autopsy, down one of the busiest stretches of highway in this province. Along the way, Canadians gather on overpasses and salute the fallen soldiers as they pass below. It's quite a sight. And it's happening far too often. The young soldiers are also fathers and mothers of children. They are still children to their own parents, and their lives are being taken from them in a war that is absolutely not going to bring peace. They are victims of a global conflict, a war on terror, as it's been called. And the same can be said for those dying in Iraq. And while they are all fighting in this conflict overseas, here at home, there are other conflicts raging, such as the argument of whether or not they should be there in the first place. This week, a 16-year-old boy in Toronto was stabbed to death as he left his school at lunch hour. And now people are trying to find out not only why it happened or how it happened, but whose fault it was. We are inundated by conflict. We face conflict in every aspect of our lives. Think about it. Every single aspect of our lives is filled, absolutely filled with conflict, and there's no way to avoid it. It exists in our workplace. It exists in our schools. It's on our streets. And for many people, it is in the home as much as it is anywhere else, if not more. Conflict is everywhere. It is even in the Church of God. Obviously, it exists between many of the small groups that have split off, but more importantly, it exists within every single one of us as we struggle on a daily basis with our own conversion. We are, in a sense, in conflict or at war with our very own nature. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, you don't have to turn there. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness." The Feast of Tabernacles in 2001, I was asked to give my very first sermonette. I spoke at the feast, and I spoke on the armor of God. In my closing remarks, I paraphrased a statement that the then new president of the United States, George Bush, made after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He said that freedom itself was under attack by a faceless coward, and freedom itself will be defended. So for my closing remarks that day, I changed the words around a little bit, and I suggested that while under pressure from Satan, we could say that our eternal life was under attack by a relentless thief, and that our eternal life should be defended. Well, I can tell you standing here today, 6 long years later, that when I spoke those words then, I had no idea what I was talking about. Well, I read the verses and I read them all properly, but I had no idea what I was talking about. I don't remember if I read Ephesians 6, verse 12 that day, but if I did, I didn't realize what it meant really either. I mean, I truly did not understand the magnitude of what I was saying that day. We are in a state of constant conflict on a spiritual level and on a physical level. We are inundated by it from every single aspect of our life. So much so, we probably don't even realize just how much. Let's take a look at conflict and where it conflict with man all began, and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Mankind has been living with conflict and in a state of conflict for a very long time. And in Genesis chapter 3, we can see where and how it all began. Starting in verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate." So there it is. From that point on, mankind has been in conflict with each other, with their surroundings, and more importantly, with God. It has been a constant battle between two different ways of life that has continued from that very day forward to today, and will continue to carry on until the time just ahead of us in the very near future. So just look at the mess that we are in today. This country and the United States and others following suit are on the verge of a financial collapse. Imagine the conflicts that will arise after a financial collapse. Conflicts within the workplace, if there are any. Conflicts in the streets. Children are already killing each other in the streets of our cities. And their peers are being sent to a useless war overseas. Trade wars, street wars, fraud, embezzlement, lawsuits. Conflict is everywhere around us. There's no shortage of conflict. Stories about conflict in the Bible. Ever since the Garden of Eden, man has been at odds with God. In Genesis chapter 7, the flood, mankind was all but erased from the face of the earth. But God spared Noah and his family. The Tower of Babel. God was ready to destroy the people again. The Israelites being led out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12. Let's read a verse in chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 33. You don't have to look long and you don't have to look far to find stories of conflict in the Bible. Between man and man, and between man and God. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 33, we read, "And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We shall all be dead.'" This is the Egyptians, after the plagues had been poured out upon them. They are wanting to drive the Israelites out of their land. But in just a few hours, the Pharaoh was once again in hot pursuit. He challenged God after everything that he had just seen and experienced. And then the Israelites, even the Israelites, after being delivered from Egypt by the very hand of the living God, led through the Red Sea on dry ground. You know, if it was a shallow spot in the Red Sea, it would be 600 feet deep. And 1 million people, give or take, were led through that sea on dry land. It's absolutely incredible. Just think about that. And a short time later, once again, they were in conflict with each other, with Moses, with Aaron, and once again, with God. Time after time, man has been in conflict with God. Continually, for 6,000 years, mankind has been in conflict with each other and with God. Which brings us to the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets has a lot to do with conflict. In fact, the Feast of Trumpets has everything to do with conflict. After 6,000 years of man's arrogance and disobedience and conflict with each other and with God, Jesus Christ will return to establish his throne as King of Kings once and for all. And he will do it with unprecedented force. Why? because as history proves, it's the only way. Bringing mankind to the brink of annihilation is the only way to prove to mankind that their ways are not working. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And let's pick it up in verse 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he would strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 17, that I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. This is setting the stage for a battle of enormous proportions, unlike has ever happened before. Let's see what happens in verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. So finally, for the first time in 6,000 years, mankind actually successfully unites for a common cause. But unfortunately, that common cause is to try to defend themselves against a returning Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ returning to his throne destroys them. And this is the only way that mankind can be rid of conflict. Once and for all, after 6,000 years, Jesus Christ with force is going to come back and instill peace on this earth. It's absolutely incredible when you think of it in those terms. Mankind is trudging its way down a path of no return. It's self-destructive, and it's a lifestyle of rebellion that can only end with the return of Jesus Christ. And the return of Jesus Christ has to cut it short, because if left to their own devices, mankind would obliterate themselves completely from the face of the earth. The only way mankind will ever surrender to God is through this type of force and this type of a battle. And history proves that that is the only way. The only reason they do this is because they have exhausted every resource against Jesus Christ, and they will still lose. Jesus Christ will stand victorious, putting an end to conflicts once and for all. When you think of it, it is absolutely incredible how much of your life is filled with conflict. It'd be easier to try to find one area of your life that doesn't have conflict. Today we are here to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. We are not here to celebrate war. We are not here today to condone or denounce violence. While the world around us is churning in conflict, and our own personal conflicts for one day are suspended so that we can gather together in tiny little groups across the globe, we celebrate that there is a God, and he has a plan. And at a time in the future, represented by this day, he will send his son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. And he will establish a kingdom without boundaries. A kingdom where children will not kill each other in the streets. A kingdom where we will not line up on bridges to salute dead soldiers. He will end all conflicts, once and for all. And that is a very good reason for us to celebrate today.